Hello and welcome back to Too Many Trailers, your trusted podcast. No, it's, I don't think it is, but your trusty
podcast. It's like a Western film.
I was going to say, your number one trusted podcast in movie trailer talk.
I mean, we probably are though.
I mean, we wish, we hope, we wonder.
Anyway. We strive to be the number one rated movie trailer podcast currently available today.
A girl can dream.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to talk about two trailers this week, as per always. Marianne, do you want to list off the trailers we have this week?
Absolutely.
Oh my god.
So this episode is going to be fabulous.
You can say that again.
So we're going to talk about the trailers for Hustlers and Judy.
And if no one knows what they are, we're going to explain them.
Yes, but we'll go through them. Yeah. We'll explain. We'll talk about our feelings, thoughts, and opinions
on these trailers, because that's what we do.
That's what this podcast is.
Welcome, new listeners.
I'm glad we explained that in our first 1 minute and 20 seconds.
After how many episodes?
It's only taken, I don't know, God, how many.
It's probably been like the last 10 since we've explained it, probably.
Oh, yeah, we didn't, for all the listeners that may have started somewhere in the middle, we didn't used to say what we did. We just jumped right in. And on that note,
let's jump right in. Alrighty, so we're gonna start with Hustlers. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
What a film this will be.
The trailer, though. I can't wait to get into the trailer talk, because the level of editing and expertise on this trailer is chef's kiss. Beautiful.
So let's get our way through the behind the trailer facts, mm-hmm. so that we can get right to the discussion.
Okay, good. So it's directed by Lorraine Scafaria. It's also written by Lorraine Scafaria, but it's also based off the magazine article, yes, in the New York Times by, mm-hmm, Jessica Pressler.
Right, so Lorraine Scafaria has done a few things directing-wise.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote the screenplay and directed Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Oh, with Keira Knightley, yes, and Michael Scott's actor Steve Carell.
That's exactly what I was going to say for you, too. She's directed a few episodes of Kelsey's latest obsession, New Girl.
Oh, my God. I'm on season 3 as of this recording. It is so good. I'm just going right through the episodes. Anyway.
She also wrote the screenplay for Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Oh, another one I watched multiple times when I was a tween. Moving on.
The composer, mm-hmm, is not listed. It's not listed on IMDb. I Google searched real hard to find, mm-hmm, it, and it is nowhere to be found.
How dare you, Hollywood?
Deprive me of my information I need to give out on my podcast.
Watch it, like, come up tomorrow.
I'm going to be so upset if, yeah, it does. So I hunted through their music and sound department, and the music supervisor, mm-hmm, is Jason Markey.
Okay.
So I'll talk about him. He has done Second Act, which was another film with J-Lo.
Okay.
And he also did Bad Moms.
Okay.
So I was like, all right.
I know that, yeah. All right. I can understand the connection. Bad Moms is kind of like, we're
women. It's a similar
women
kind of feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's a funny, like, female-driven movie.
Yes.
And, like, he's done something else with J-Lo, so.
Nice. Well, I mean, the musical, was it director or something, or supervisor?
Yes, he's,
I think,
a supervisor.
As close as the composer as we can get.
Yeah, for unless, not having anything available.
Yeah, unless someone wants to come forward.
You can always email us or tweet us or contact us through whatever means you would like.
All right, so our cast is...
This is a bomb.
This cast is literally incredible. When I first read about it, I was like, oh my fucking god. Everyone I love is in this movie.
I know. I, like, was looking through upcoming movies, and it was, like, with Lizzo, and I was like, soul.
I'm in. So we have Constance Wu, you know, from Crazy Rich Asians.
And Fresh Off the Boat.
And Fresh Off the Boat. Thank you. We have Jennifer Lopez.
Which you know because she's J-Lo.
Made in Manhattan. You know, a classic. Julia Stiles. You know from
10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah. Or Stance, which is my personal. Those two films are like top tier.
They are?
Top tier.
Wow. So I can't even talk about them. They're so great.
We have Kiki Palmer.
fabulous.
Amazing. Lily Reinhart, you know from Riverdale.
Yep.
Maybe not you.
She's the blonde one in Riverdale. Yes. That's how I know her.
We have Cardi B.
Who you know from being Cardi B. Also from Pepsi commercials.
Also an experienced female rapper who is incredibly amazing. Lizzo, who is one of the probably best musicians currently now.
You may know her from her flute solo.
Oh, she does it everywhere and I love it.
I know.
Every time she plays the flute, I'm like, she could play the flute.
You're like, who the fuck plays the flute?
Like a rock song. She does. We have Madeline Brewer. Mete Tauli. Sorry if I messed up your name. We have Trace Lizette, Mercedes Rule, and, you know, Vanessa Estalaja. Yeah, so that is our cast. I mean, there's more, but they're mostly men. I just wanted to really focus on the women this week.
Because let's talk about what's important in life.
Women. Should we get into the trailer talk?
Absolutely.
Okay. I loved this trailer. Mostly just because of the first, like, 30 seconds of it.
It was really good, I have to say.
It is from the sex workers' POV.
Which is a very not...
It's mostly...
A very unexplored area in media.
Yes, and especially because this is a heist movie, which we all know I love.
Sorry, Kelsey, what do you love?
I love a good heist movie. but essentially, like, this movie could have easily been from the POV of, like, the Wall Street guys coming and be like, oh my god, she stole my money!
Right,
like,
right. It could have been written by men and directed by men and done the opposite way.
Exactly.
Which, like,
no,
fuck
thank
the
you.
Patriarchy.
Yes. We're doing the middle fingers up, just FYI. But having it from the sex workers' POV, and especially having it from people of color sex workers.
It is taken until 2019.
It just elevates it, you know? It really elevates, like, the story and understands, like, who is actually, like, the sex workers in our country, you know?
I do.
Like, part of, like, the actual technical part of the trailer before we go into the actual, like, plot, the transitions between J-Lo teaching to Constance Wu
so good.
Tonight was incredible.
Oh my god, Kelsey, you like to transition in a trailer?
I know! I never do. Probably because there was no, like, fade-outs, it was just, like, hard cuts, which was so well done.
Speaking of, it's gonna be a bomb soundtrack. Let's just talk about J-Lo and Lizzo and Cardi B.
Even if I don't see the movie, I'm definitely gonna purchase the soundtrack.
Absolutely.
I feel like this will probably be, like, they'll probably have, like, two or three, like, original tracks, you know, by then. I would think that they will probably, like, gung for, like, an Oscar, like, one of those things. Like, I bet they'll
best
be, like,
original
really,
song.
Like, they're really gonna try and, like, go for that.
And you could tell the song during the trailer was a Cardi B song.
Yes, and it was amazing. And it worked so well.
And it was very well, all of the music was very well timed through the trailer. Like, all of the cuts, like, at the end, they were showing the faces of them with the different letters that spell out hustlers.
Yes.
And they had very good music cues, and I was like, this is what I came for.
It just makes sense as a trailer, and especially if you're making a trailer about sex workers, if you don't have good music in the movie, it's not gonna work.
Right, like, if you use sad, like, slow music, you're gonna give it a totally different feel. It's gonna be Memoirs of a Geisha, not Hustlers.
I mean, that's a good movie.
I mean,
don't
it's
get
a
it
very,
wrong.
Very good movie.
But it's
very
entirely depressing.
Yeah, but this is a humorous heist version of a sex worker's POV movie.
And so I guess the main character is J-Lo. Her character, she's the one that's teaching Constance Wu that, you know, this industry, even though, you know, we're still, you know, sex workers are slowly but surely becoming more respected in this country, it is still run by men and money.
Yes.
And it's men and money dominated because, you know, they're not, that's who go to strip clubs mostly. You know, you know, again,
mostly.
Stereotypes. You know,
stereotypes and generalizations.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's okay, and because when you're talking about majority, you need to go with a generalization.
Right.
And the fact is, majority of people going is
white men.
Rich white men.
Yes. even worse.
Just getting worse by every word I add to it. Yeah.
So I didn't really know what this movie was about going in. Neither did I.
I just knew who the cast was.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're doing it.
Yes. So when they're like, we're going to steal and this is going to be a heist, I got so happy.
Because, I bet.
Because it's like, it's kind of like taking back what's yours almost type of heist movie. Not so much being like, we're going to rob a bank. It's going to be like, we're getting what's right. And kind of like, we're doing what's right for us too.
That was like the best and most accurate way I could have put my feelings.
I just sipped my water.
Thank you, Kelsey.
You're welcome.
But yeah, I kind of, when I was watching, because I didn't know it was going to be a heist movie, I was like, oh my god, maybe a better version of Ocean's 8?
Yes. Yes, I'm not even going to argue with that. That is 100% what it's probably going to be. You have better people of color. No, I don't want to say better people of color. You have a more wide array.
You have a more diverse representation of people.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was never going to come out of my mouth correctly. And especially, like, when you understand, you know, the sex worker industry, it is POC dominated.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it skewed, unfortunately, towards a different socioeconomic class. In this country, there is more people of color in that socioeconomic class, which we're seeing in this film.
Right, the only white person in the group of hustlers is Lily Reinhardt.
Which is great.
Julia Stiles is the person investigating it later.
Right, and which, you know, it happens. There are white people in the sex worker industry.
Absolutely,
however,
but it's a much smaller number.
Exactly, so it's POC dominated.
Right, so to see it accurately like portrayed that way,
it's so
in a film
nice
is
to
like,
see.
What?
Yeah, it's so, yeah.
And I wonder how much, so Jennifer Lopez is very involved in like producing things and things like that.
She
so
took
I wonder
classes.
How much. Yeah, she produced the whole show on ABC, I guess Freeform now.
Yeah.
The Fosters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, she's a main producer
good
for that.
Her,
right?
Damn.
I know.
Probably
so I wonder how much she was involved in this also.
I feel like she had a strong hand into it because A, she's the lead.
Right.
You know, generally, I mean, I love J-Lo, but most of the stuff she's in, she's like the lead.
She
kind of takes the hand and she makes sure that this film is good so I can also look good.
Because you know what? It's fine.
That's fine. That, and you know what? More power to you. I like it. So I feel like, especially because she took classes about this, I feel like she wanted to do it right.
Yeah.
And I feel like, from at least the trailer, I am getting a sense that it's being a more respectful payoff
mm-hmm.
towards these sex workers and, you know,
right.
You know, people who do entertain for
yes.
a living.
Absolutely. And it's going to be, so coming to it not really knowing what it was going to be about,
mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, this is going to be a really different version on, like, the terrible people on Wall Street.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just coming from a totally different point of view. Like, you've got other movies like The Wolf of Wall Street and things
right.
like that
where
show,
it's
like,
more positive light.
Right, it's more positive and it's like telling the from the point of view of people involved,
mm-hmm.
which is super interesting
yes.
and like insane to watch. But then to see it from somebody else's point of view that's being exploited by the
yes.
people on Wall Street,
absolutely,
and like having them in the position of power in the main position in the movie is not something we get
at all,
ever,
at all. It's pretty crazy because of the fact that, you know, especially in parts of the trailer, they do show, like, the Wall Street people. And the way the camera is angled, it's so you're looking up at them.
Right.
So every time you're with a Wall Street guy, except for when Constance Wu is with the guy on the stretcher.
Right.
Which, that is shot from above.
Above, yep.
So in my one film class that I have took... we're going to go back on that. So basically, camera angles can show dominance
yeah,
power.
Absolutely.
So when you're looking at those Wall Street guys, you like in the beginning of the trailer, you're from below, so you're the subordinate.
Yeah.
And then when the sex workers take control, every single shot is
from
above. And so you're stating that this is from the point of view of these sex workers, and you're showing dominance over these Wall Street guys,
right.
which is...
And that's just excellent
so easy.
Direction
yeah,
from
so
Lorraine
easy.
Scafaria. Like... Absolutely amazing.
And it doesn't...
Simple stuff
yeah.
that makes a really big
and it works.
Difference.
And it works.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like those weird Dutch angles to be like, who is this for? And it's like,
right.
It's okay to have something straightforward.
Right. You can have simple camera angles that do all of the work easily for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need to go a little crazy and get a little indie with it.
Right.
You can just do straight on.
For a mid-level like heist movie, an action movie, that's okay. You know, this is for like everyone, you know?
This is not like you see it at your local independent theater.
No.
Like this is to be mainstreamed to pull a bigger
audience.
And
that's okay. And I think that we're missing a lot of that in theaters. Like everything is either like high budget action film or indie film. And there's really no in between. I think the only thing I would consider in between is Where'd You Go, Bernadette? Which is kind of bordering on mid-level.
Bordering on indie,
and
though.
Indie, and more Good Boys, which is like that, like, R-rated comedy with children.
Oh, right.
When that, I would only say because it's original, that would be, like, a mid-budget comedy, which we don't see, so.
You're right.
So, yeah. Marianne, did you finish your notes, first of all?
I did.
Oh, wait. Great. So, would you see this in theaters, Netflix, VOD, not at all?
So, I think if I was to see it in theaters, it would probably be, like, with a group of people. Like, so mm-hmm. if people were, like, a whole group of my, like, friends was like, oh my gosh, let's all go see it, then I would do it.
Right.
I don't think it's something that I'd be like, I need to see this in theaters right now.
Right.
Like, it looks really good, but I'm, like we talked about earlier, I think I'm more interested soundtrack-wise, especially. But, so if I didn't see it, I'd probably see it, like, at home on VOD later, or I saw Ocean's 8 on a plane, and I feel like this would also be a good plane movie.
Yes.
Because it's, like, comedy, not too much, like,
you don't have to really pay
emotion.
Attention.
You can be, like, kind of, like, tired.
Like a good Netflix-type film.
Right.
I would see it in Bargain Tuesday only because I feel like it's kind of made for cinema, the way, like, the action shots of them dancing.
Oh,
I would
true.
Say, like, would probably be the only pull for me to see, like, in theaters. However, I feel like it's probably, like, a good Netflix VOD film
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
One day we will probably actually just say more at the same time. We will never say less, I don't think.
No, that's impossible.
All right. So we're going to take a little break.
Just a little one, and then we'll be right back to discuss Judy.
Be right back. And we're back. I hope you had a wonderful short break. We took some time to regroup.
I drank some water.
And we're back to talk about the trailer for
Judy. I feel like it needs to be in that connotation.
Like Eliza, kind of.
Almost. Kind of like, you know, the same thing.
It is, pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
All right. So,
it comes out on September 27th, 2019, if anyone cares.
It just, like, Kelsey said it, like, completely straight-faced. She was like, if anybody even cares. And I was like, okay.
I'm sure there are people.
Somebody probably does. So, this was directed by Rupert Gold?
Gold.
How do you think you pronounce it when there's two O's?
Oh, there's two O's?
Yep.
Whoops. I think it's Gould.
Gould, probably?
Probably. He's British, right? I'm guessing he is. British.
He's done some other TV movies, and they've mostly been, like, biopics.
Makes sense.
Right?
Yep.
I was like, makes sense. All right.
It is written by Tom Edge, and it's based on the stage play
right.
by Peter Quilter.
What a last name.
Almost thought, when I wrote it down, I almost thought it was like
Peter Quill. Yes, I know, I did the same thing.
Which, these two movies, I didn't know how they were going to connect, but they somehow connected. They're just both, like, based on two strange pieces of, like, materials.
Right,
like,
one is a magazine article,
which
and
is,
what?
Right. You never hear about a movie being adapted from an article.
Right.
And two, you generally don't see something being a movie based on a stage play, usually the other way around.
Right.
Usually they kind of adapt it into, like, something that you can, like, work around on stage, probably, like, triple off-Broadway or something.
Right.
And
usually when things are being turned into movies, it's usually a musical play. It's not usually, like, just a stage play. Which is so interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was just an interesting way to put it onto screen.
Yeah. So Tom Edge, who wrote the screenplay, also wrote some episodes of The Crown.
Oh my god, that makes so much sense. Okay.
Right? Yep. Doesn't it make 100% sense?
100%.
Okay. The composer for this is Gabriel Yared. Sound familiar?
It does.
That's because he also did the music for another biopic called The Happy Prince that we covered last year.
Jesus.
And I was like, wow, that's the same film as this one.
It literally is!
Because part of my notes will relate back to that. But so just as a refresher, he has done a lot, and every time I look at his name, I'm like, you kind of look not familiar at all. And then I'm like, oh, you've done like 130 things.
You've
I'm
done
so
everything.
Sorry, sir. He did Cold Mountain. He did one of Kelsey's
favorite. Cold Mountain, though. So good. Well, okay. Renee Zellweger's also in Cold Mountain.
Right, I know. Mm-hmm. What a connection.
What a connection.
Pre and post facial work. I'm sorry I had to bring it up.
You gotta get it in.
I'm sorry I had to put it in. And I'm done now, I think. Maybe.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. And he also did another one, another film that Kelsey enjoys, The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, God. Two really good Jude Law movies.
Yep.
Yep.
Kelsey, you want to break down the cast
for I will. There were so many people, I actually had to stop at some point. Even with the people who were like named officially, I had to stop in between. And there's not a lot of big names.
Right,
just a lot of names.
Yes.
So we have the one, the only, Renee Zellweger. We have Jesse Buckley Rufus. We have Sewell Michael Gambon. We have Finn Whitlock.
Oh my god! Kelsey, are your hands in the air?
Yes!
What is happening?
There is a rainbow connection.
What? I would like everyone to know that this is the first time that Kelsey has had a rainbow connection, especially when I do not, and what a day it is.
What a day.
Let's mark down this recording date is August 22nd, 2019. What a day.
What a day. I actually had to look at what day it was
on the bottom of my computer. That's the only way I knew. A historic day, I will.
Historic
and Kelsey,
day.
Tell us about the Rainbow Connection.
So, Finn Whitlock, he is an actor for many TV shows, but mostly he's worked with Ryan Murphy a lot, especially with American Crime Story, American Horror Story, and generally he's put, he usually goes for the gay male roles. He's an incredible horror actor, I do have to say. Plus, he's also a really good actor. He's been, I believe he was in If Beale Street Could Talk. And he's been in a lot of like stage plays as well. I like him as an actor. He has a really distinct face, but I couldn't really recognize him under the huge wig he was wearing in this movie.
I love it when it's like I couldn't recognize him because he had a giant wig.
That thing was fucking huge. Jesus. So yeah, I believe that is our only rainbow connection for this trailer, other than Judy Garland being the biggest gay icon
in like the fucking world.
Yep, exactly. So we also have Bella Ramsey, Gayo Weiss, Andy Nyman, Fenella Woolgar, John Daglesh, Phil Dunster, Royce Pearson, Lucy Russell, Gemma Leah Devereaux, and Bentley Kalu, I believe.
Wonderful. I know two of those people.
Renee Zellweger and Bentley Buck. Just for reference, Gemma Leah Devereaux is playing Eliza.
Liza
Minnelli. Yes, she's playing her in the film, so. All right, so do you want to get into this trailer talk?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, so before we even get into the trailer,
yes.
Let's talk about how I always forget Renee Zellweger can sing until I remember that she was in Chicago.
Yes, and that was literally almost 20 years ago.
Ew,
yeah,
no,
it wasn't.
Like
18 years ago, yeah.
Oh my god, I used to watch that when that came out.
Wasn't that?
I'm gonna get hives.
Wasn't that episode title? Yeah, it was like either 2001 or 2003. Pirates of the Caribbean won for Best Picture, so I believe either it was 2001 or 2002 it won for Best Picture. So it must be 2001. I believe.
How do you know that?
I am a nerd.
I don't think it's 2001. I'm gonna fact check this right now. But I always forget that she can sing, and then I remember that I was obsessed with Chicago for a brief period of time. Shut up.
No, but it is a really good movie.
2002.
Oh, excuse me.
It's okay. I probably would have said 2005.
That's way too late.
Okay, fine. Look. But anyway, so it's kind of similarly to how I always end up feeling about Nicole Kidman, where I always forget she can sing until I remember that she was in Moulin Rouge, and then I'm always like, right, of course.
Yeah, but hers was like heavily like edited though in Moulin Rouge.
I know, but I like Moulin Rouge. Still,
no, me too. Don't get me wrong. That movie is like ride or die. So
that is also that movie is like a acid trip.
Oh,
it is. An acid
it is.
Trip.
It's by Baz Luhrmann, so of course it's an acid trip.
But yeah, so. That was just my opening note when I like when Renee Zellweger came on singing. And like the beginning was singing and I was like, oh right, you can sing.
Did you watch the one with like the short, like the really really like quick like 10-second like run through the
thing.
Whole pre-trailer thing?
Yes, because I watched that one because you sent it to me. Yes. Because before that I watched a different one which was different and I was like, wrong.
You're like, no, I think I searched through like 4 or 5. I was like, nope, that's a teaser. That's not
official. Yeah, it was
official.
Too short.
So I was like, first of all, I was like, just start the damn trailer. I don't care about this.
This new trend of doing the pre-trailers is really killing me. And we talked about it last time about how it might be like their ad section.
It
and they're
is.
Just like, let me throw it in. And I'm like, I listen to the YouTube 10-second ad. Anytime I'm not close enough to press the skip ad button, I don't need it before I actually want to watch this trailer.
I think I've realized it because for this one, they actually had like the turn sound on, which is insane. I think it's like for like Instagram or something.
Kill me.
Which is insane. Instagram or like Facebook when you're kind of just like flipping through or whatever. So,
how frustrating is that? I
really
hope really
frustrating
that we can stop that trend. Right now, are you listening to us, movie trailer
Hollywood,
editors?
Get on this.
Stop it. Nobody likes it. It's frustrating. It makes me not want to watch the trailer.
Exactly.
So stop.
I literally was duped. I was like, that's it. It's 10 seconds. I was like, oh no, this is a fucking pre-trailer. I don't need a pre-trailer. I don't need a pre-game for a trailer.
A trailer is 2.5 minutes.
It doesn't need to be shorter.
It doesn't need anything extra behind or
it
in
doesn't.
Front of it.
Okay.
Moving on from that rant.
It's interesting. This trailer, this movie is interesting.
The editing at the beginning was very interesting.
Yes.
When you had the multiple shots very fast, and I was like, why? Why are we moving so quickly?
I think it was intentional.
I know, but it was weird that it was like really harsh, fast editing at the beginning and no other.
Oh, yeah, and then it was
like,
just like nothing fast.
And nothing fast happened after that. There were like no more like really hard, fast cuts, which was nice, but I was like, why did you do this? Like, I didn't feel like it was necessary.
The only thing I think they could have done it for was because they're like, it's like you're flipping through a TV or whatever. That's the
I
only.
I understand. It's set in 1968, but like, I can guess.
Yeah. Also,
I can gather that from watching the trailer.
It's also set in 1968, which we do not think of Judy Garland. You know, as an older woman, which I thought was very interesting.
And this is our new trend that we are seeing in our biopics that we have talked about, especially like The Happy Prince and some other things we've discussed.
They didn't do the retirement note, so.
Right.
Because she's not retiring.
Oh, and the other one is the Shakespeare one.
Yes, All Is True.
All Is True.
Mm-hmm.
But it's similar to those where you're getting the information about the main star's life after. After that main time of fame.
But I think it's more different than like All Is True and The Happy Prince, just because it's like we don't usually see these Hollywood starlets after age 35 at least.
Right.
Like Audrey Hepburn, we don't think of Judy Garland, we don't think of Audrey Hepburn, we don't think of all these like movie stars as older people because they're so immortalized in these like films and TV shows from like the 30s and 40s.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, and then all and Hollywood is so, you know, ageist against our older generation,
absolutely.
Especially back then, because it's like, well, you have one wrinkle, all of a sudden you're
done. So, like,
because
if you think Judy Garland, you just think Wizard of Oz. Like, there's nothing else
forward. That's why I got so confused. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like, I didn't really quite catch it until I was like, oh, I get it. I get the gimmick of this film.
Yeah. But I feel like that's the trend we're seeing, is that they're trying to tell the story of, like, post-fame.
Yeah. And I think
which is interesting, because, especially with Judy Garland, You don't, because
especially like with the financial trouble you're seeing her in,
right? So like, in my house, like my parents, my dad and my grandpa, like frequently would talk about like Hollywood, like starlets and stuff, and my grandpa would be like, "Oh, remember when this person and before things went south for them and stuff like that." So I feel like Judy Garland and some of these other like starlets of that era, when you hear about their like post-fame stories, you really hear like tiny bits and pieces and snippets, and you don't really get a full like look at the story and like a full picture.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting in this, I think.
Like the kind of over...
You don't get the full story.
Yeah.
You're just getting like the little, drugs, like, oh this, right. Oh mental health, oh abuse,
like right
oh,
after
this.
Like their...
And you like get like that kind of stuff, and you hear about like Judy Garland and like and some other actresses of that era being mm-hmm. given like certain drugs to keep them awake and then to make them sleep just and to like overwork and things like that.
What was in the film.
Yes.
Or the trailer. So yeah, like exactly. She's like in a car like with her two kids which yeah. I didn't even know she had mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah, and because Leslie yeah. Minnelli is Judy Garland's daughter.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't... I do a fact! Kelsey did it!
We are changing the game this whole episode.
Well, it's August 22nd, man.
Yeah, so that's incredible. So when her daughter, Liza, I guess, was like in the car like with her, like Judy's son as well, she goes, "Oh, mommy, that's going to make you fall asleep." She's like, no, these are the ones to keep me awake.
Right, she's like, no, these aren't that one. Those yeah. ones or whatever she says, and I'm like... That was a really good
way to like kind of introduce it into like the sphere of the universe of what this film is. Yeah.
And then like it plays into all of the different things she was trying for mental right. health and things with drug addiction right. because that was such an issue for that era's like right. it is across Hollywood today.
Right.
But like in that era you hear a lot about it.
It wasn't publicized at all. Like no, like you were really like kept under the radar. You were sent away like in everything. Like it was bad.
Right, but everybody knew about it.
Right, and
like,
it was just,
I grew
it was like
up always hearing
secret.
About all of those kinds of things, like, oh, all of these nice, like, my dad always talked about Judy Garland in the fact that, like, she was such a good person, and then Hollywood, like,
destroyed her.
Yeah. Like, mentally and physically and emotionally.
I mean,
like,
I'm sure a lot of people would say that, so.
Yeah, and it's, like, the true story, and this is, yeah. like, going to talk more about that.
I think this trailer is very frank, even though of all the glitz and glam, it's very kind of just, like, this is what it is. Like,
right.
And I think that because it was based off a stage play, I think mm-hmm. it benefits from that.
I think it does too.
And also, this trailer, speaking about the stage play, was literally like three acts. Like, there was like a beginning, middle, yeah. end to this yeah. trailer, which was wild to me.
I know.
So basically what this film is about is like kind of like Judy's post-ish Hollywood life. Of her residency in London in the 70s, I guess?
It's actually in 1968. So it's apparently...
It's a weird trend.
It was, like, over the span of, like, a year. The
okay.
first part, like, is that... So I just read the like, caption for it, and it was saying that it's, like, she was recruited to come to London to do this series of sold-out concerts.
Oh, wow.
And they were, like, took place over the span of somewhere within a year's time. So this movie probably goes between, like... Probably like over like maybe 3 years if there's some time before and
yeah.
after. But
yeah, exactly.
So in the late 60s.
The 1968 trend I've been seeing a lot. This is the second movie, at least. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was also set in 1968. And I'm just curious as to why this has come up so much. I'm just seeing it a lot. It's just...
Yeah.
Maybe like part of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood probably was also probably part of that mm-hmm. era too. Yeah, it's just a very packed... It was a lot going on.
There was a lot. I know I didn't write a lot of notes because I was like, wow, and everything's like, being explained to me, and I don't feel
exposition.
Like... And I feel like the plot is kind of what I expected from this.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like, oh my goodness, plot twist. Oh my goodness, not what I expected.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is kind of what I expected
it's
from
very,
this.
I mean, it's pretty... it's September 27th, but... It's late September, so I get it, but it's kind of like the start of Oscar season because I was like, when Renee
yeah.
Zellweger was like acting, I was like, ooh, you are really going for that Oscar. Like, you are really
yeah.
reaching into those depths of being like, I don't know if I can do it. I'm like, oh, okay, like, we
all right,
it.
Tone it down.
Tone it down just a smidgen.
Right.
So I feel like this is really like kind of like the start of the Oscar films because this is about Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's
It's a It's a biopic.
It's a biopic, which the Academy loves.
Yep.
It's very Beatty in terms of, because it talks about mental illness and like depression and drug use, which is all very current today. And,
right.
You know.
And it's about fucking Judy Garland.
Which, who can deny Judy Garland some love?
Right.
Except herself.
Oh, God.
Sorry,
that was... You're really upset.
Yeah, that's depressing as fuck. Wow, I'm sorry about that.
It's all right.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's just, it's like, it's very... It's a good trailer, but it's very Oscar-baity. It's a
Absolutely.
Good trailer, other than that fucking lettering that threw me the fuck off. This September. And
oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, where the hell is this coming from?
Why are we doing this?
It's like, you would do that at the end, right before you immortalize Judy in the red... You know, sparkles, like her shoes, like we get it, but yeah.
You know what I enjoyed about this trailer?
Yes.
Is that they could have gone for playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow throughout the entire back of the movie.
Oh, thank God
trailer,
they did.
Which wouldn't have been awful, but it wouldn't have been good.
It would have been, like, because it's, like, it's very slowed down, it would have been almost horror movie-like.
Right,
you know?
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. And I was just like... I was like, wow, they really could have gone for this and nobody would have been, like,
too upset
surprised.
About it. Yeah.
If they had. But they didn't. And I was like, yes.
It was
thank
a good
you.
Choice.
Like, used it a little bit at some points when
but
she was
like,
singing, but
fine.
That's, like, fine.
Because
she's
it's, like,
singing.
The action of singing.
Right. And you're trying to show off that, like, Renee Zellweger is actually singing.
Like, she can sing. Oh.
Wow. We
it's
all
amazing.
Forgot.
We did.
We really did.
Yeah. Any other yeah. notes? I mean... I think I yelled enough about Hollywood and ageism today.
No, I think I'm good.
All right.
Kelsey, would you see this film in theaters? I almost said in trailers. In theaters? VOD? Not at all.
I would think, I mean, like, you know, Hollywood, the culture of Hollywood and, you know, starlet type thing is, my mom and I kind of have this, like, shared... You know, love for it and fascination for it. So I feel like she would enjoy it to see it in theaters. Probably not. I wouldn't probably see it like on a Saturday. Like, I'd definitely see it on like a bargain Tuesday, I feel like, because I feel like it's a good movie to sit through.
Right.
Like, probably just sound wise. I feel like the sound editing and like sound production might be really good.
Yeah.
Might be used like worth to see it in theaters for that.
I would hope so.
But other than that, you know, other than a. Netflix, probably. Bargain Tuesday or Netflix. How about you?
So it'd be really interesting to see because I'd like to learn a little bit more about,
yeah.
like, some stuff. But I feel like it would be also really upsetting, so I probably
yeah.
would not see it.
It definitely brings down the mood a lot. It's not, like, a fun Judy Garland film.
No, which is not what, like, I expected it to
no.
be at all, obviously. But I feel like... If I would watch more of, like, a documentary instead of a biopic about Judy Garland. Like,
yeah.
I would rather hear from people that, like
worked with her
lots
or,
of other things,
like...
So lots of these exist. But I would rather watch something like that and just get more of the facts than watch the facts be played out.
Right.
Because that's more upsetting to me than just hearing about it.
Yeah.
Like, hearing about it is, like, fine because I can kind of, like, dissociate from it.
Yeah,
but, like,
exactly.
actually watching it would be really upsetting and
yeah.
I wouldn't like that.
You don't like to see it played out. Essentially, you wouldn't see the stage play, but you would see, like, the 4-part miniseries on Netflix if they ever did one.
Right. Or, like, yeah. Or if, like... Turner Classic Movies made a documentary,
you
which
mean,
I'm sure they do.
They probably
like
would.
That's what my dad and I would probably end up sitting and watching together.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Great discussion on both trailers.
Yeah.
This week, should we do some business?
I think we should do a little business.
Alrighty. So you can catch us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Anchor.fm. Overcast. Am I missing any?
I don't think so.
All right. So you can catch us there. You can subscribe to us pretty much all of those. You can subscribe
yeah.
to us. Rate us 5 stars in iTunes, please and thank you. I mean, you can rate us
anywhere.
Any star rating you would like, but preferable 5 stars.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. At Too Many Trailers. That's TWO Many Trailers.
Mm-hmm. If you have any like longer thoughts about the sex worker industry that we
yeah.
might have like missed communicated, or if you want to expand on anything that we've said about the sex worker industry.
We are more than happy to re-record a little, like, apologies section. It's not our first time doing that.
Nope.
So feel free to reach out to us with any other things that we may have misspoken about or missed.
Or if you have any facts about Judy Garland, you want to just...
If you have a documentary that I can watch instead of this film.
Please add us and email us at twomanytrailers@gmail.com. That's twomanytrailers@gmail.com.
All right.
Should we just give our parting words?
Yeah. Do you want to take us out, Kelsey?
I'll take us out. Just a reminder, don't judge movies by their trailers. Leave that up to us. Have a great one ever. Talk to you next soon.
Bye.
Bye.